Get down. Jarrad Payton.
I hear my name again, and I'm like, who's calling me? So I look back at the people working, and it's not them. It's this guy that's sitting down right by the door, and he goes, Jarrad, man, I love you on The Score, man. So awesome. I was like, I'm going to be on at 9 o'clock. Tune in.
The Son of Sweetness.
One man, one career, one team for 200.
Walter Payton, 13 seasons for these. Deanna.
Who are the Chicago Bears?
The Bears, yes.
Sports anchor for WGN, former running back great.
Payton again, already two touchdowns. There it is. There's the touchdown. The Jarrad Payton Show today.
Jarrad Payton with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Jarrad Payton joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Jarrad, good morning. How are you?
Mully and Haw, man, always great to talk with you guys. I'm doing great, man. Bears victory Monday yesterday. Got a chance to watch Bears football at 8:30 in the morning, which I wish I had every single Sunday so I can get stuff done around my house and have the rest of the day to chill. I mean, it was like the perfect Sunday, man. A good day of football, watching football after that first quarter, I should say. And then after that, man, everything just started to be on the up and up, man. How you guys doing?
Yeah, we're living the dream. I got to tell you, you mentioned that the beginning of the game, it was one of these things where they had a penalty before the game began. Now, they only ended up with 2 for 10 yards, but they really were offside or whatever. What was it, the penalty, illegal formation? Or something? They moved before they kicked off. And then you're sitting there, and they have 2 3-and-outs, and they're down a field goal, and you're just kind of like, oh, boy, like, what is this? And then it ends up being about as glorious a game as you can imagine. I mean, it was about as fun as you could think of, and everything went swimmingly, but it was a delayed start. It wasn't until they kind of went to a up rhythm tempo that things just turned around.
Yeah, I mean, I was a little scared at first, and I tweeted out, like, you know, Bears need to wake up. And I was worried because, you know, Thursday I was talking, Lawrence was kind of nervous a little bit, and I was on with those guys, and I was like, Lawrence, don't worry about it, man. They got this one in the bag. And so then I'm nervous because I'm walking around just going to all my kids' games, and all these people are walking up to me like, you sure about this one? You sure? I'm like, yeah, I'm sure. I'm nervous early in the game, first quarter. I'm like, what is going on? Like, they can't make me look bad over in London, man. This ain't happening. But to see them figure things out, Shane Waldron, you know, getting that up-tempo and just looking at the command of this offense that Caleb has now, man. And just that is reassuring to me. And him barking out orders and moving guys around, calling out the mic and figuring out who Sam is. Like, all these things from a rookie quarterback and beating a team that you're supposed to beat, to me, that's what it's all about. Everybody wants to talk about, you got to play who's on your schedule. Like, it is what it is. So, like, we can talk about team not being good, but we've seen it before where, you know, teams take advantage of that and end up beating, they lose the teams that you're supposed to be able to beat. And so they took care of business and offense looked good. And just the fact that, man, we're starting to see guys that everybody had question marks about, like, why aren't they being more implemented to this game plan? Now they are. We see Cole Kmet, St. Vider's finest, right. 2 touchdowns for him, right? And then Keenan Allen. That was the storyline going into the game. Everybody's like, yo, we got to get Keenan Allen more involved in the game. You know, we got to get him more. It's like Shane Waldron has not only listened to the guys inside of his locker room and how they want to be coached, but he's also hearing it from us out here. Like, yo, you got to get this dude involved. And lo and behold, both those guys had 2 touchdowns, and it was great. It's great to see the Bears offense scoring touchdowns. You know, what, back-to-back weeks, 5 touchdown drives? Like, to me, that's what it's all about, and it's showing that consistency. So can you go into this bye week, a much-needed bye, and then be able to come out in the following week against the Commanders and Jaden Daniels? I can't tell you guys how excited I am to, like, watch that game.
Breaking news on The Score presented by BetQL Smarter Bets. Start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Jarrad, Ian Rappaport from NFL Network is reporting that the Raiders are completing a trade of Devontae Adams to the New York Jets. Sources say, back with Aaron Rodgers, and Ian Rappaport just tweeted that out about a minute ago. What's your reaction to Devontae Adams going to New York to help that hapless team?
Well, it seems like every time, wasn't it last week I was on with you guys and there was breaking news as well? Like, yeah, I don't know what. Yeah, this must be, I might need to start being the Adam Schefter of Chicago, man. I need to start breaking some news. I listened to Devontae going back with his old partner. All just made sense. I had a lot of people trying to figure out their teams needing wide receiver help, thinking one of my buddies is a Steeler fan, thinking, oh, yeah, he's going to be a Steeler. No, that's not going to happen. The Jets need all that they can. But last night, just watching Aaron Rodgers, man, he took a lot of hits last night. And at the age that he had in 40, it's got to be piling up on him. But I love the fact now that they probably had another wide receiver there. Garrett Wilson is ridiculous as well. They need to figure it out, but I think last night was a step in the right direction with all the stuff that's been happening in that organization.
Good news, the Steelers, right? They're 4-2 now, which means that Justin Fields probably stays starting at least another week, and he needs 3 weeks more for the Bears to get a fourth round pick.
Shouts out to Justin, man. I've been cheering for him, just making sure he's doing what he's supposed to do, and this is his opportunity, right? And that's what we all talked about. We knew that what was going to happen here and getting Caleb Williams, the first overall pick, but you always are rooting for Justin to be able to be successful. And you don't get that many chances in the NFL. You guys know that. It doesn't happen that often. So, I mean, just last night, just watching the beginning of the game, right? I'm sitting there and they're showing Josh Allen, and then Mitchell Trubisky is sitting behind there. And I'm like, dude, he's smiling. I'm like, Mitch. Man, Mitch is living a good life, man, but you don't get that many opportunities to be a starting quarterback in the NFL, so you got to take advantage of it. So hopefully he does keep that going for him, because I'm always rooting for that kid.
Jarrett, 4-2 at the break. The Bears now can have a week to rest and recover. The Washington Commanders are next. Has anything happened over the last 3 weeks or in the first six games to alter your expectations for this team, good or bad?
No, David, not really. I mean, just more on a uphill swing. I think where we started to where this team is now, it's all about your opponent too. I think the confidence level, especially on the offensive side of the ball with this offensive line, it's given Caleb an opportunity to be more successful in the pocket. It's not perfect by any means, but it's better than it was in a couple of weeks ago when we were having these conversations. So I think to me, that's positive. I think the emergence of some of these guys other than DJ Moore, where we know what DJ can do, but getting Keenan and also, you know, getting this running game going as well has been successful. And defensively, we know how strong they are. It's a credit to the injuries that this team had going into London to be able to still do what they do. And that's a credit to Matt Eberflus and what his staff does and how he runs his system of being able to. It's not just lip service when you say, like, listen, next man up, we'll figure it out. Well, that's the case with this defense. And to see the game that Kyler Gordon was having, I mean, phenomenal game, and then injuries, and then next you know, you got to plug somebody else in and figure it out. And that's what they do. So seeing the defense staying strong like they are, even with some of the injuries to key players like Jaquan Brisker, like that right there shows me something. And that the offense is taking steps in the right direction. This is the part of the season that we've all been waiting for. You get to this game after the bye is where I always thought it was going to get interesting. And it starts out the gate interesting against the Commanders. And you got two rookie quarterbacks going head-to-head who are taking – all of the headlines when it comes to this rookie class. And we're going to see, you know, I want to see the battle. I'm putting my money on Caleb. I just am. I'm rolling with him. People, Bears fans everywhere I go have been walking around. We do got a quarterback, man. Let's stop all this. Let's stop all this stuff about I don't want to jinx it. We're not jinxing anything. The young man is the truth. Is he going to, everything that I've ever said. Is he going to have his ups and downs? Yes, he is. It's the game of football. I don't care who you are in this game. You're going to have bad games. It's not always going to be right. But internally, what he has, his moxie, all that stuff of seeing his leadership qualities early on and what he's trying to do and the respect level that he has for his team, I'm all in, man. Chips are all in on Caleb, man. Let's go.
I think it's cool that he's also from there, from the Washington area. I think that adds a little something, hopefully, for
him. Going
home? Just the idea that it's, you know, you went to high school there. You know people there.
But you don't doubt his ability to handle that, right?
Oh, no. Yeah. I think it's an added benefit. I think it's
an added benefit.
I think it makes him play even better. I think he's a guy who meets the moment.
I agree.
Yeah, he does. He wants to. Dude wants to win.
Yeah.
Like it's. I was trying to explain this to my son yesterday as we were talking, and I'm like, most people don't get it. Like even me, I've been around people. I've been around my pops. I've been around, you know, like guys like Jordan, like these guys that like it hurts when they lose. Like they just it burns inside of them. Like they don't want to lose. He seems like one of those dudes. Like he's one of those guys that just it irks him, and he wants to win at all costs. Like, I wasn't built like that. Like, when we lost, there was games that I felt it where I was like, oh, man. But then when I was in Miami, it was like, yo, all right, well, let's go meet up on South Beach, man. Kick it for a little bit, and then we'll get him next week. You know what I mean? Where it seems like it eats inside of him to lose. And I love that about him. And I think he does. He lives up to these moments. And he's going to give his best effort, but he's going to leave it all out on the football field. And to me, that's what is so surprising. I think that's what we saw in that game in London where I did this video that I posted on Twitter, and it's just a combination of all the things that he did in the game where some of those old plays from USC were coming out where, you know, he's taking care of the football and then saying, oh yeah, I'm going to use my feet to get the first down. It's an added element into the playbook and what Shane Waldron's going to be able to do calling plays down the line. And shout out to Shane Waldron. If there's anybody in this city that's been very critical of him, it's been me. But credit to where credit's due of seeing that he's starting to shape up and find his footing as a play caller and how his plays are designed. I'm giving him a lot of credit for what I've seen over the last few weeks. Hopefully it can keep growing. And that relationship between him and Caleb keeps growing over the next few weeks.
So what kind of insight can you provide in terms of coming back from, in Kyler Gordon's case, a hamstring injury, in Tyreek Stevenson's case, a calf injury, and in Jaquan Brisker's case, a concussion? All three very different. We don't know how severe each one is. But those three guys, very important to the Bears' secondary.
Yeah, I mean, hamstrings are always an issue, Dave. I mean, you just never really know how those are going to kind of hold up. And those, most of the time, they take time to come back from those injuries. Concussions, I've had a couple of those. And everybody's different, Dave. Everybody's different of how, you know, light sensitivity and all that stuff. Man, I'm 43 years old and had concussions when I was in my 20s and 30s, and I'm still light sensitive, and it just I can't go outside without having, you know, glasses on. That's why everybody sees me. When you see me outside somewhere, I have to have the glasses on most of the time. So everybody's different in how, you know, your pain tolerance is different, but you said it, Dave, they're all key to this Bears defense and the success to it. And you don't want guys to be out for that long. And so that's why the hamstrings scare me and the concussions scare me. You don't know. Every person's different of how it affects them and how their body reacts. And but the hamstring is definitely scares me the most because you got to, you know, in this game, man, it's a lot of stop and go and how your body has to, you know, try, and especially on the defensive side. If that hamstring pulls just a little bit, next thing you know, you're off. And so you got to make sure that you're as close to 100% as possible before you get back out on that field.
So we have a compensation update from Adam Schefter. The trade for Devontae Adams is going to be finalized today. It will be a conditional third-round pick that can go to a second-round pick depending on his play, and the Raiders are not paying any of his remaining salary for Adams, the Jets will assume the balance of it. Pretty interesting. Okay. That's a lot of money, man.
It is a lot of money. I wonder if those Taco Bell commercials switch over up to New York now. You know what I mean? That he's doing it every single day. I just wonder. I heard you guys talking about Hassan Reddick too, man. It's very interesting with how that whole situation
goes.
What
would you do? Would you take that call?
I would take the phone call, definitely. After I get off with you guys in a little bit, I'm gonna try to find a way to make a call to Drew. I know people that know Drew.
You know everybody, yeah. Jared. Why don't you get it done?
Why
aren't you working for the Bears?
Break some news.
Why aren't you working for the Bears anyway?
Well,
I know you have like seven other jobs, but can you add an eighth?
It's family, so you know. George knows my number. He needs to call me.
He'll give you. He'll give you that $5 an hour. He was aiming for Olin.
I'll say this: I would take the phone call, and I'd have to. You always have to listen. I mean, he makes your football team better. The situation right now, though, I'm always about a chemistry guy. I'm in your locker room, and it seems like things are moving in the right direction. So it would have to. I know you don't want to go and. When you make this decision as Ryan Poles and your staff, right? But the same way that you brought these veterans into this locker room for certain reasons and having those meetings with Shane Waldron and guys stepping up that are vets, I would sit down with those guys too and just have a conversation with them to see what they would think as well. Not saying that how they feel is the end-all be-all of how he would fit into your locker room if that was the case, but I wouldn't want to hear from those guys. Because there's a reason why you brought those vets and you have those vets that are here around. They've been around the league. They know certain guys. They know all these things. And as much as it makes you a better football team, on the football field, it's got to be all the way around, even in that locker room as well.
Point.
So I would hear those guys out.
Great point, Jarrett.
All right, buddy. Thank you so much, Jarrett.
Good stuff.
See you guys. I'll talk to you soon.
All right.
That's Jarrett Payton. Always fun to talk to him.
I can't wait to see what the Mercedes Lewis News Network reports about the Bears' interest in Hassan Reddick.
Yeah, that's the guy we need to have on Quick Dial, right? That's the guy that is in the know.
No, not really.
Loves to say.
We don't really need him on Speed Dial. We eventually will find out anyway because he'll tell us.
It's an off week. Maybe he'll be in L.A. with Jay Glazer at Fox, right?
Perhaps.
They seem to bring in guys on the bye during that week
see
and
that.
Do a little studio work. We'll
see that
happen. Maybe he's there.
All righty. That sounds great. We'll be right back. It's Molly and Awe on the Score.
What would it take you to evaluate making a head coaching change in season?
Oh, I haven't even considered that. I'm not considering that. Just so you're clear, not considering that.
But you've done it.
I wouldn't be a hypothetical in that matter. Do you think I'm an idiot? Do you? Okay, well, I'm not going to hypothetical with you about when I'd consider coaching change in light of the timing we're sitting here with. I'm not at all.
Wow. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That is the voice of the Cowboys owner, Jerry Jones. That was post-game, and he talks after every game, and he was asked about firing Mike McCarthy, and you heard that reaction. He was not pleased. He was miffed.
He was miffed.
Do you
but
think
it was,
he's an idiot?
No, I don't think he's an idiot, but I do think it was a fair question given his...
Do you think he's an idiot?
Impulsive nature and also the biggest home loss since he bought the team in 1989. So I understand why he is miffed. I understand why he is frustrated. I understand why he might go off on some morning show hosts.
Well, it wasn't us, but he did talk to Shane and RJ. Is it Sean and RJ? Shane and RJ? Sean. So poor Sean and RJ caught it this morning. They had Jerry on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. That is the team
flagship
station, and they made some mistakes apparently.
So Jerry, 1970 a little different from this past off season in building the team we're talking about today. Which there was a lot of criticism that you guys didn't add, didn't spend, and don't add, and don't spend, and are not aggressive enough with some of the problems that are still haunting the Cowboys today that we see play out on the field. That's the point of talking about the offseason.
Oh,
Oh, I remember those criticisms very well. Okay, so what?
Are they playing out to be accurate?
What's your point?
My point is, it seems like...
Let me tell you what I'll do. Let me tell you what I'll do about it. I will let us sit down and look at the decisions we've made over the last several years. Okay? I'll look at it. Now, if you think I'm interested on a damn phone call with you over a radio and sitting here and throwing all the good out with the dishwater, you have got to be smoking something over there this morning. I'm not. And I really don't, and I don't even want our listeners to listen to me, to talk about, this is not your job. Your job isn't to let me go over all the reasons that I did something, and I'm sorry that I did it. That's not your job.
Well, my job is to ask why.
Get a job, or I'll get somebody else to ask these questions, man.
Jerry, we're trying to figure out why the team is.
I'm not kidding you. You're not going to figure out what the team is doing right or wrong. If you are, or any 5 or 10 like you, you need to come to this meeting I'm going to today. There are 32 teams here. You're geniuses.
Jerry,
okay? Y'all really think you're going to sit here with a microphone and tell me all of the things that I've done wrong and without going over the rights?
What?
Now, listen, we both know we're talking to a lot of great fans and a lot of great listeners, and I am very sorry for what happened out there Sunday. I'm sick about what happened Sunday. Now, I'm not talking to these yahoos on the end of this phone. I'm talking to you, the fans that are listening this morning. And we can spend a lot of time going over zigging and zagging. One of the stupidest things I've ever done that anybody has ever analyzed is by the Cowboys. It was an idiot that did that. So idiot things can turn into good decisions, okay? Smart things can turn into bad decisions. The facts are that when you make one, you don't really know whether it's going to be good or not at the time. So let's just go ahead. I'm trying to answer your questions, man. You want some conversation this morning? You're getting it.
That is Jerry Jones.
Classic exchange.
Sean and RJ could be in trouble, man.
They might be. He sounded serious.
He sounded like he was going to fire them. I don't know that he owns the station.
They were fair questions. He owns everything in Dallas, doesn't he?
I mean,
everything affiliated with the Cowboys. If it's the
Jerry's world.
Flagship of the Cowboys, he probably has some sway there. They were not inappropriate questions. It didn't sound like it was an unprofessional tone. It was just an owner who is at his wit's end and very frustrating, taking out his frustration on a couple guys who just happened to be at the other end of the phone.
I think maybe you're a little too much, you identify a little too much with those two.
You think so?
No, I'm totally joking.
So
what would be the equivalent?
The equivalent would be, let's say... If Tom Ricketts were on the phone with us and he got tired of us asking him to have the Cubs behave like a big market team in Chicago. And
I don't see Tom doing it.
I don't see Tom being that way either. But he could be a little more snarky than he typically has been. He could get a little impatient at times.
Dustin, let's cancel Tom.
Well, first we'd have to get him on again.
We have requested him. He's out of the country this week, apparently. We did request him at the end of last week. But I think that would be the equivalent. As the Cubs' flagship station.
I just don't want to lose my gig because I asked the wrong question. Hey, what the hell happened with the center fielder?
There's no way that that was a bad question.
No, it wasn't.
And I'm not just sticking up for the guys asking it. I think that...
You're sticking up for
them. Probably
no, you're
a
not just
bit.
Sticking up for them, but you are sticking up.
All right. If I'm sticking up for them, I don't think that what they asked was inappropriate because the Cowboys are struggling. And the amount of attention they receive based on who they are makes that kind of scrutiny appropriate when things aren't going well. And they're just coming off the worst home loss of Jerry Jones's tenure to a team that has Super Bowl aspirations for real, not just a team that's overcovered and on the four-letter network every commercial break. After every commercial break, it's on, oh, the Cowboys. What's wrong with Dak Prescott? What's wrong with Mike McCarthy? What's wrong with Micah Parsons? My goodness sakes.
I was down in I was at the Senior Bowl at the end of the year after Jerry had fired the old offensive line coach, And I was kind of walking off the field. And I see Jerry, and Jerry is just so, you know, accessible, and he's just kind of a normal guy. And I'm like, I just saw him and recognized him. I'm like, hey, Jerry. Like, it's almost like I thought I knew him or something.
Well, you feel like you do.
And I said, hey, have you ever thought about, instead of messing around with all these coaches, why don't you just coach the team yourself? I said something like that, and I was, you know, just looking for a note or something. And Jerry, he thought about it for a second.
Oh, you were serious?
And he said, if I thought that was the best move for the Cowboys, then I would do it. But I think that we might be able to get someone a little better than me. Like, he answered the question seriously, and I was like, geez, the guy's thinking about being the coach.
Because
I'm an idiot.
He was sincere. He thought you were
very
sincere.
Yes.
And you mocked his sincerity.
I was just kind of goofing around. I didn't know.
I'll say this, though. We have both been fortunate to have interviewed him individually, and I have enjoyed two of the times that I've had to interview Jerry Jones one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
He's a compelling figure.
Oh, he's a super nice guy.
He can command an audience, and he, when you are with him, has a presence about him.
You ever get on the bus down in at the Combine? His son has the bus, and they're driving around.
I have not been on that.
It's a good spot.
That would be a good spot. Yeah. Well, he definitely is in a difficult spot right now. It looks like the Cowboys are in a world of hurt, and Mike McCarthy charged with getting them out of that. The only thing about the Cowboys being where they are is that they're in a division that there's really no clear-cut favorite emerging. The Eagles have their issues. The Commanders are going to probably encounter some problems down the way, and the Cowboys still can be in a position to stay in it.
Devontae Adams, this is an update, is in the Jets building, or as they say in New York, he's in George's box. Roger Clemens is in George's box.
Wrong sport.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Wrong sport. I know the Yankees are playing. I know the Mets are too.
Your pardon.
Devontae Adams.
I got caught up in New York.
What's the back page story tomorrow if the Yankees, Mets, and Devontae Adams are all the big stories of the day? What dominates the back page? What's the biggest deal? It's got to be Devontae Adams, right?
It's got to be Daniel Jones.
Well, if the Yankees win, though.
The Yankees win, it's still Devontae Adams. He's the new thing. You expect the Yankees to win, and you figure the Yankees have at least, if they win tonight, they play tonight, correct?
Tonight.
And they still have six more victories before they're celebrating. Devontae Adams comes to town just once.
I think Devontae Adams.
That's the news judgment, I think,
and
Dustin.
I mean, honestly, David, can he save the Jets season? Can he save the Jets quarterback?
Can he make Aaron Rodgers 30 again? I don't know. Devontae Adams, is he at the peak of his career? No. He's still a very dangerous receiver. Very good, but what happened to the hamstring problem?
Yeah.
Miraculous recovery.
What happened to the hamstring?
So he walked into the building without a limp.
That's right.
Now, some guys recover quicker from hamstring injuries. Guys who get traded typically do. Trade Kyler Gordon and he would know.
They find that guys with fake hamstring injuries get better when they go to a new place.
The MRI revealed that he was not hurt at all.
Yeah.
No injury to speak of. They were making things up. Antonio Pierce made a business decision, shipped Devontae Adams out of town. And the Raiders, did they get a good haul? A conditional third can turn into a second? How does it turn into a second?
And we'll make business decisions going forward as well.
they get what they need because he was going to be more of a drain on everybody in that building in Vegas. So
they got problems in that building in Vegas.
Well, they have a roster issues.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
They don't have a quarterback.
There's that.
Now they don't have a number one wide receiver. Mm-hmm. Now here's a question about if you want to attach it to NFC North business.
Ooh.
Stop mocking me.
No, I was just.
Ooh.
I felt a good point coming.
All right. Here's the point.
I'm not mocking you.
if the Raiders trade Devontae Adams, does that mean Max Crosby is the next guy to be dealt or shopped? And if he is, are the Detroit Lions picking up the phone because isn't he not from Michigan? Is there not a connection there?
I am a big fan of Max Crosby. I think it'd be fun to see him play.
See, Aiden Hutchinson and Kyle Pecco are now out of the Detroit Lions defensive line. Yeah, both those guys out for the season.
The tackle got hurt as well.
The tackle with a torn pec, I believe.
Terrible.
Aiden Hutchinson with the broken tibia.
Yes.
And
so get Max Crosby and Hassan Reddick.
Well, one or the other. You're not getting both. They do have $33 million under the cap.
Load them up.
I'm not saying that.
That's what you've been implying. No, I'm all for it. Let's see it.
No, I'm just saying that Max Crosby makes sense for them to consider as well as Hassan Reddick.
So you previously felt that there weren't going to be a lot of trades made, but it does feel like there are so many teams that have abandoned hope, all ye who enter here.
It does feel that way.
Doesn't it feel that way?
It does.
That Cleveland team is a disaster.
Yeah.
And when Mike said, load up on as many draft picks as you can get, I mean, who does that mean is available?
I don't know what that means in terms of
Garrett available.
Well, I that would be really.
What if Detroit got all three of those guys?
Stop it!
I'm just saying.
Now, see that defies logic. What doesn't defy logic is being strategic in guys that you look at. And look, Max Crosby is a, dare I say, son of the Mac. Eastern Michigan.
Is that right?
Yes.
I did not know that.
Eastern Michigan.
So that's why you think.
Good old Ypsilanti. I like him.
He's from Ypsilanti?
He played football at Eastern Michigan.
Oh, okay. But he's not from Ypsilanti.
No.
This is Maxion!
He should have gone to Michigan.
Well, I think he's from Texas, actually. He was born in Michigan, moved to Texas. I don't know his life story necessarily that well. I do know this. He can get to the quarterback.
Yeah.
And he will be an edge rusher that would be as impactful as any midseason move that anybody makes. You could put him in the category with Hassan Reddick as far as being game wreckers. You get Max Crosby, you change the complexion of your pass rush immediately. So maybe this is a precursor to a fire sale in Vegas. Who knows? I don't know about the trade deadline. Things change so quickly. The NFL is, I think there'd be more trade activity than fired coaches in season, right? I think that's easier to anticipate. Roy Robertson Harris got moved yesterday. Devontae Adams moved today. Who's next?
You know what today is?
Today is Tuesday, October 15th.
It's a Layla Tuesday.
Oh, okay. It's a Layla Tuesday.
We'll talk to Layla and Marshall and Dan next. Mully and Hall on the Score.